Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Federer. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Oh, great. Great to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, what are we going to be talking about tonight? Are we going to be telling the story of St. Patrick?
Yes, yes. It's a fascinating story, and preserving Western civilization has some debt owed to St. Patrick.
All right, fine. Well, then you go ahead and tell the story. I think it's fascinating. I enjoy it every time I hear it. So with us, William Federer, who's certainly a prolific writer and a frequent guest on Radio Liberty, the story of St. Patrick. Go right ahead, William.
Well, it starts on the other side of the world with China and the Han Dynasty, built big sections of the Great Wall of China, and this prevented the Huns from attacking into China, and so they turned west. And it started a domino effect of tribes across Central Asia that were being displaced, and they kept moving further west and further west until they overran the borders into the Roman Empire. And so we begin to see the Rome was invaded by illegal immigrants, and of course, they were the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths and the Angles and the Saxons and Jutes and Lombards, a lot of ancestors of a lot of people in America. And when they came over, they first came slowly and would assimilate, and then they began to come so fast that they didn't bother learning the Latin language. And so they kept their own German, French, and Anglo language, and this broke up the unity of the Roman Empire. And so Rome had to pull its legions all around the frontiers to put out the global fires, and so their military was stretched all around the world, putting a great strain on them. Matter of fact, the taxes had to be raised to pay for all this, and one historian said the tax collector was worse than the barbarian. And so they had a double dilemma. Another was immorality. The Roman Empire was rotting from within because of immorality. They had homosexual bathhouses. I went to school in Rome, and we would tour the ruins of Roman palaces, and they would have one room was named, believe it or not, the vomitorium, and people would gorge themselves on food and then go to the vomitorium and lean over a rail and empty out. And matter of fact, one emperor actually choked to death on his own vomit, and he didn't come back from the from that room. Some of the ruins had the jacuzzis, and under the floor is where the slaves would stoke the fires to keep the jacuzzis bubbling. These were in the gymnasiums, and you think, well, what's wrong with a gymnasium? Well, gym, G-Y-M, is the Greek word for naked, and so a gymnasium was where a bunch of naked men ran around, and you can only imagine the immorality that took place there. But Rome was decaying from the inside and being overrun from the outside. And I hear the music there. I didn't know if we're coming up on a break.
Well, we're coming up for one. You go right ahead, though. I'll get you to stop when the time comes.
Well, the Romans also had exposure of unwanted infants. This was their version of abortion. And the mother would bear the child, lay it at the father's feet. If he picked it up and thought it looked healthy and thought they could afford it, well, they got to keep the baby. But if the father didn't like it or thought they couldn't afford it, the mother would have to put the baby in a box, set it outside, expose it to the elements, and let the poor baby die.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment into similarities from then to today.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is just talking about the similarities between what happened in ancient Rome and what happened in America. They had abortion over there. They didn't actually abort the women. They simply put the children out after they'd been born and let them die. And, of course, the Christians were saying how wrong that was. And they were actually taking these little children left by in the front of the house to die and putting them in orphanages. And then, of course, they had certainly depravity. They had their gay bathhouses and naked bathhouses and homosexuality. And then they certainly had their coliseums, and they were simply built to entertain the people as the society began to break down. More and more violent certainly entertainment, feeding the Christians to the lions. But basically the whole society was depraved, just like our society is depraved today. I was reading an article yesterday about America's policy of torture and all the people that the American forces tortured in Iraq. And many of them they tortured to death. And where have you heard any of our religious leaders talking against the policy of torture, and demanding that the people who carried that out, well, they just said we were carrying out orders. Well, fine, who gave the orders? They should be punished for it. You don't torture people to death in a civilized society, or or maybe we're no longer a civilized society. And the similarities that William is pointing out between what happened in Rome and what's going on in America today with our homosexuality and depravity and really our indifference to human suffering and death is really striking. Go right ahead, William.
Well, as the immigrants were coming across the border into Rome, they first learned the Latin language. Then they stopped speaking Latin. They just kept their own German, French, and Anglo language. They mixed in a little Latin. That's why we call them romantic languages, not because they kissed, but because the French and English and Dutch and German all have a Roman Latin root to them. Anyway, so the Roman emperor was wanting to distract the people from their empire falling, and so he would put on violent entertainment. And then they gave out free food. Free bread, doles of bread. Matter of fact, the entire
city. Sort of like food stamps today.
Exactly like food stamps. So this was the government wanting to appease the people. So the whole city of Rome was on welfare. They called it bread and the circus. So bread meaning that they would pass out this, these food stamps and keep the people appeased. And then the circus was this violent entertainment. One Roman historian commented, "Those who live at the expense of public funds are more numerous than those who provide them." And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's quite a number of states now where the number of people that are on welfare exceeds those that are working right here in America. But tax collectors became greedy functionaries of a bureaucracy. Again, Salvian, a historian, said they were more terrible than the enemy. And then they had... the immorality, Salvian, again, is a 5th century Roman historian, and he writes, "The Goths lie but are chaste. The Franks lie but are generous. The Saxons are savage in cruelty, yet admirable in chastity. What hope can there be for the Romans when the barbarians are more pure than they?" And then Salvian goes on to say, "O Roman people, be ashamed of your lives. Almost no cities are free of evil dens, are altogether free of impurities, except the cities in which the barbarians have begun to live. Let no one think otherwise. The vices of our bad lives have alone conquered us." And so we see that Rome was being rotting from the inside. I thought this was a little interesting twist. They had lead poisoning in the cities. Now, it wasn't like our inner cities with lead paint. They actually piped the water into Rome through lead pipes. Matter of fact, the word plum is Latin for lead. So our very word plumbing means leading. So it's the Latin word for lead because the pipes that brought the water into Rome were made of lead. And, of course, they had injustice in the court system. They had almost a 1,000-year-old bureaucracy. And then they began to have terrorist attacks. And Attila the Hun had 500,000 men in his army. The Huns, again, originated over by Mongolia. And they would just ride in and steal, kill, pillage, just brutal. They marched on Rome in 453 AD, and the Pope Leo went out and met Attila and talked him out of sacking Rome. Of course, Rome fell 20 years later to the Visigoths. He was marching on Paris, and St. Genevieve, a young woman, got all the city to fast and pray, and for some reason Attila turned aside. But there was a city named Aquileia. It was the 9th largest city in Europe, and Attila leveled it, killed like 75,000 people, and the survivors ran out to the marshy swamp by the ocean and hammered down logs into the muck and would live on top of these platforms and go in boats with long sticks from one to the other. And this grew into the city of Venice. So Venice, Italy, where the water and the canals was started to try to get away from Attila the Hun. The Christians living at the time thought he was the Antichrist. The Scourge of God is what he was nicknamed. And so during this time, now that was the setting that the world was at. During this time is when the Romans had to pull their legions back from the frontiers to protect the city of Rome itself. And so Britain which was the furthest away Roman outpost, originally invaded by Julius Caesar, probably 50 BC around there. But the Roman legions had to be withdrawn from Britain. And so they woke up one day, there's no police, there's no army, there's no Romans. And so a marauding band began to steal and then kidnap. And that is when Patrick enters the story. Patrick was kidnapped around 16 years old. Some think it was probably around 405 AD. And he is taken to Ireland with many others and sold into slavery. And Ireland was ruled by the Druids. Now, the name Patrick is a Latin name. It means nobleman. So patrician was the name of the noble class, and plebeian was the poor peasant class. So you read Roman history, you're always reading about patricians and plebeians, patricians and plebeians. And so patrician is the name of a nobleman class, and Patrick's birth name was most likely Sucat, S-U-C-A-T, but he was given the name Patrick. And so Patrick's around 16 years old. He's kidnapped. He's taken to Ireland. And Ireland ruled by the Druids. The Druids were a pretty bloodthirsty group. And Thomas Cahill, who wrote a book called How the Irish Saved Civilization, he said, the Druids sacrificed prisoners of war to the war gods, newborn babies to the harvest gods. Believing the human head was the seat of the soul, they displayed proudly the heads of their enemies in their temples, on their palisades, which is the wooden poles around their forts, even hung them from their belts as ornaments. They would even shrunken heads, like the Aborigines. And they would use heads of their enemies as footballs to kick around in a victory celebration, and even use skulls as drinking bowls. So that gives you a little picture. Halloween came from the Druids. They believed the woods were filled full of spirits that constantly needed to be appeased. And poltergeist type of spirits, the demons, the djinns or genies, most of the animist pagan religions have spirits that always needed to be appeased. And that's come down to us as leprechauns. Now, they're nice, cutesy little things, but that's the origin of spirits in the woods that are sort of mischievous. And so so here's Patrick. He's now a slave in Ireland, and he writes in his confession, he says, "And the Lord brought us over, scattered us among the nations." And he says that he was just a young boy, and before he knew Christ, he says, "But after I came to Ireland, every day I had to tend sheep. Many times a day I prayed. The love of God and his fear came over me more and more, and my faith strengthened, and my spirit moved, so that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers, almost as many at night. This when I was staying in the woods and the mountains. I used to get up and pray before daylight, through snow, through frost, through rain. I felt no harm. There was no sloth in me, I see, because the spirit within me was fervent." And then Patrick ends up coming to faith, and he remembers the faith of his parents. He writes in his confession that his father's name was Calpurnus, and that he was the son of one Pontius, who was a minister and a deacon, so to speak. So we know that Patrick had a Christian parents, but he didn't come to a personal faith till he was there as a slave. It's sort of a trend that maybe a lot of us have gone through. He says, "And then the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief, that I might at last remember my sins and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my abjection and mercy on my youth and ignorance, and watched over me before I knew him, before I was able to distinguish between good and evil, guarded me and comforted me as a father would a son." After this, Patrick begins to have a inner monition and a leading of the spirit and dreams. And he writes in his confession, he says, "And one night I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, 'It is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country.' And again, he said, 'Your ship is ready,' but it was not near, but at 200 miles. I left the man that I was with and fled, and feared nothing till I came to the ship." And evidently they were putting wolfhounds on it, a group of people to take to Europe to sell as hunting dogs. And so they gave Patrick a ride back, and the ship was actually shipwrecked in southern France, and it took him a long time to finally get his way back to Britain. But fascinating story of the beginnings of Patrick and how he had been a slave in Druid Ireland and came to faith.
All right, fine. Well, our guest, of course, is William Fetter. We're telling the story of St. Patrick. We'll be back in just a moment with this amazing, amazing story.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Patrick, after he escapes and goes to Europe, and then eventually he gets back, and he goes back certainly to Ireland, and actually he's allowed to suddenly set up a church, and he begins to convert the Irish to the Christian faith. Now, remember, this is a Catholic faith at the time, but Patrick is there certainly reading tribal chiefs who are Druids, so about 20 or 30 of them in Northern Ireland, and a number of them and a number certainly of the people in the tribes that convert to Christianity, and suddenly God looks after her. Of course, Patrick's life is in danger all the time. Those who are not Christians want to kill him because he's preaching a new religion. And time again, why, of course, God protects him and go right ahead with him.
Well, then one of the other stories that is about Patrick is the one chieftain had a practice of making everybody extinguish their fires in their hearths, their fireplaces, and then bring a goat or a gift to these druid priests, and in exchange they would get some coals to relight their fire for the next year. And the story was that whoever did not extinguish their fire on that particular night of the year, the king would kill him. And so one of his biographers in the year 600, Murachu, described Patrick challenging the Druids to a contest at Tara. And he writes, "The custom was that whoever lit a fire before the king on that night of the year, which just happened to have been the night before Easter, would be put to death. Patrick, obviously very bold, he wasn't about to obey the pagan chieftain on the night before Easter, so goes on to say, Patrick lit the paschal fire before the king on the hill of Slain. The people saw Patrick's fire throughout the plain. The king ordered 27 chariots to go up and seize Patrick. Seeing the impious heathen were about to attack him, Patrick rose and said clearly and loudly, 'May God come up and scatter his enemies, and may those who hate him flee before his face.'" Goes on to say, "By this disaster caused by Patrick's curse in the king's presence, 7 times 7 men fell, and the king, driven by fear, came on bent knee before the holy man." So it sort of reminds you of the story of Elijah on a hilltop, and Ahab sending some guys up to get him, and you know Elijah praying, and they get struck down. Another story, and again, there's no way of verifying of these other than this is what was written down and is passed down. A druid invoked a fog. And Patrick challenged the druid to just the danger. "I must make known the gift of God, an everlasting consolation without fear. And I was not worthy after my misfortunes and so great difficulties after my captivity, after the lapse of so many years. He should give me so great a grace on in behalf of that nation." And he goes on to say how one time they caught him and they kept him at the point of death for 2 weeks in iron. And then finally the Lord escaped him. He says, "Let me tell you briefly how the merciful God often freed me from slavery and from 12 dangers in which my life was at stake, not to mention numerous plots which I cannot express in words, for I do not want to bore my readers. But God is my witness, who knows all things even before they come to pass, as he used to forewarn even me, poor wretch that I am, of many things by a divine message." And so he is very courageous, and this he says, "I beg him to grant me that I shed my blood with these exiles and captives for his name. And even though I should be denied a grave or my body woefully torn to pieces limb by limb by hounds and wild beasts, I am fully convinced that if this should happen to me, I would have gained my soul together with my body, because on that day, without a doubt, we shall rise in the brightness of the sun, that is, in the glory of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer." So he was definitely a serious Christian.
Well, I think it's an amazing story. And, of course, we hear about St. Patrick's, and we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but most people don't really know who St. Patrick was. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, William Federer, right here at the American at Radio Liberty.
Hi, this is Dorothy Tyler, and most of you now know why so many people agree that miracle itself really is a miracle. Miracle Food products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford. That's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, William is simply pointing out that Patrick was had converted about 120,000 Irish to the Protestant, to the Catholic faith, and suddenly he had baptized many of these people. He certainly had a tremendous, tremendous impact upon the society that existed in Ireland at the time. Now, before we go on, William, I do want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your books, how they can get a story, the story of Patrick, and I know you have DVDs and other items. Why don't you let our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to get your information?
Well, thanks, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And we're talking about a book called St. Patrick, The Real Story of His Amazing Life from Tragedy to Triumph. And then I have a DVD set that goes along with it that you can watch 3 half-hour programs that talk about the fall of Rome, all the details, and then Patrick's life being kidnapped, and then all of his ministry of evangelizing. And there's actually a combo right now. You can get the book and the DVD in a special. But AmericanMinute.com is the best way to reach me.
AmericanMinute.com. Okay, go right ahead.
So in his confession, and I keep referring to this because later in life, after he had done his amazing ministry, there was church politics. And some of the church leaders in England, in Britain, became a little jealous. And they wanted him to come back and have a little investigation, little sit-down talk, because they heard a rumor that when he was young, he did not believe in God. And Patrick said, God called me to Ireland. I'm going to stay in Ireland. I'm not going to go back for your little talk. And I'm going to write my confession and send it. And so that's what we have. We have Patrick admitting that when he was a teenager that he did not believe in God. And he said, I confided to a friend. Yes, in 1 hour I spoke to him and shared my doubts. But then he tells the story about how he became a Christian when he remembered his parents' faith when he was a slave. And he talks about how he was so hurt that they had accused him, and he said it stabbed him in his heart and almost made him wanted to give up the ministry, but he didn't. And so it's a good insight into, you know, there's enemies, foreign and domestic, and you're out there, you know, waging battles against the foes, but then you have some people that should be on your side that attack. But that Jesus had a Judas in his midst, even, but he couldn't let that hold him back from doing his divine ministry. But here's Patrick. He writes this in his confession. Patrick the sinner, an unlearned man to be sure. I had long had it in mind to write, but up to now have hesitated. I was afraid lest I should fall under the judgment of men's tongues, because I am not as well read as others. As a youth, nay, almost as a boy not able to speak, I was taken captive. Hence today I blush and fear exceedingly to reveal my lack of education, for I am unable to tell my story to those versed in the art of concise writing, in such a way, I mean, as my spirit and mind long to do, so that the sense of my words expresses what I feel. I think he does a pretty good job, but it turned out that what he considered a detraction, an inferior quality that was always bothering him, and, you know, we think, you know, how could that have been a concern, but yet, in a sense, sometimes we don't do all that we should because we think, well, I don't know enough. I haven't studied enough. Or I'm not successful enough. I can't do that yet. We can't let that hold us back. But because of him not being educated in all of the deep theological Latin treatises and all the, you know, writings that were going on at the day, a whole lot of energy theologically was put into trying to calculate the right day to celebrate Easter. I mean, this was like a major point because Constantine wanted the whole Roman Empire to celebrate Easter on the exact same day. Well, the Romans had a solar calendar, and Easter was the Paschal, the Passover sacrifice. It was the Jewish festival, and so the Jews calculated the date of Easter or the date of Passover on their lunar calendar, and every year it was a little bit different. It would move up, it would move back, and so Constantine said, no, I want the same day every year, and so this caused them to have to come up with another formula on figuring the date of Easter instead of being hooked to the Jewish lunar calendar, and so this was the beginning of the break between the Jewish Christian church and the Gentile Christian church all over the date of Easter. Anyway, Patrick is in Ireland, and it was that particular date of Easter that he had lit that fire on a hill. And so the Irish, they really liked their date, and that was the big sticking point. In 668 A.D., there was Augustine of Canterbury, and he was a missionary back to Britain and Ireland, and he was wanting to talk the Celtic and English church to come back underneath of the authority of Rome. And the sticking point was the date of Easter. And finally, they went ahead and agreed to come back under. And in exchange is when Patrick got the title saint. And that was 668 AD, over almost two centuries after his death. But anyway, so Patrick, always apologizing that he felt like he wasn't educated enough. But it turned out to be a blessing because he had to talk to people in their common language, in their common vernacular, and he would use things that would be simple to explain. And so he used the three-leaf clover to teach the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, three in one. And so that's why the three-leaf clover has always been associated with Patrick, because he used it to teach the Trinity. And he distanced himself from being around women because he didn't want to have any accusation. It says that wealthy Irish women would want to donate money, and he refused their gifts because he wanted to stay above reproach. And but the when he was attacked by the church politics, Patrick wrote in his confession, "But when I was attacked by a number of my seniors who came forth and brought up my sins against my laborious episcopate, on that day indeed I was struck so that I might have fallen now and for eternity. But the Lord graciously spared the stranger and sojourner for his name." And anyway, he says, "And the cause was that they were proceeding against me after 30 years, a confession I had made before I was a deacon. In the anxiety of my troubled mind, I confided to my dearest friend what I had done in my boyhood. One day, nay, 1 hour, because I was not yet strong. I know not, God knoweth, whether I was 15 years old. I did not believe in the living God, nor did I so from my childhood, but lived in death and unbelief. And I was severely chastised." And anyway, but then he tells how he, the Lord spoke to him and he ended up becoming a Christian. But a fascinating story. Now, one of the things I think neat and often overlooked is that Patrick started these 300 churches, and they were very independent. Again, about this time, Rome's being attacked by Attila the Hun, and so the last thing they care about is what's happening, you know, on the other side of Europe and in the outback in Ireland. And so the church, these communities started by these Irish missionaries, would have a stone wall around them and stone huts and the stone chapel and then a stone tower with a door about 30 feet up and a long ladder. And they would put all kinds of food and supplies in this tower. And if the Vikings attacked, they would ring a bell. Everyone would climb up the ladder into the tower. They would pull the ladder up behind them and wait it out, maybe a week or two, until finally the Vikings left and they would put the ladder down and rebuild. And anyway, we see that Patrick's, these missionaries had not just the gospel, but they had the code of Patrick. You say, well, what's the code of Patrick? Well, when they broke away from the Druid law, they said, well, how should we do our laws? And so Patrick salvaged some of the Irish laws that he thought were salvageable. He mixed in some Latin law, and then he mixed in the Bible law and Moses and the law of Moses and so forth. And so it, all together, it's called the Code of Patrick. And so when the missionaries went back to Britain, they took this with them. And the Celts in Britain used the Code of Patrick as their day-to-day law. And then when the Anglos invaded Britain, for a couple centuries, they adopted the law, and then the Saxons came in and adopted it, and you had a, around the year 800, had a Anglo-Saxon king named Alfred, Alfred the Great. His two brothers had been killed by the Vikings who were ravaging England, and so he's out by a swamp with a handful of his men, and he goes to a rock, and they vow to fight back against the Vikings. And so Alfred the Great does the guerrilla warfare, and they're fighting and fighting, and it takes years, but they finally corner the Vikings against the coast. And Alfred gives the Viking chieftain the choice, go back to Norway or convert to Christianity. And the guy said, okay, I'll convert. But they were still on the other side of the river. But Alfred is basically ruling England at the time, and Alfred decides that he's going to write down the laws. He's going to codify the laws. And so he took the Code of Patrick, and he took some more of the Bible and actually wrote a whole, you know, Beatitudes and all the different, you know, Moses' law. And then he mixed in some of the laws of different English chieftains and mixed it all together. And that's called the Law of Alfred the Great. And so this became the basis of English common law. It had rights that came from a creator. It had, limited power of a king. He couldn't do arbitrary things. And now the Vikings did take over England. Around the year 1000, William the Conqueror was William the Norman. Now the Normans were the Christianized Vikings, the Norsemen. And so William the Norman, he conquered England and he ran it as a king. And the people of England kept hearkening back to the old ancient laws of the Code of Alfred and the Code of Patrick, where they had rights that come from a creator. And so finally, the barons of England surrounded King John on the fields of Runnymede in 1215 AD and forced him to sign the Magna Carta, which limited the arbitrary power of a king. And they did it by claiming they had these rights, so the king couldn't just arrest anybody anytime and couldn't take away their land anytime he wanted, because the English people had these rights that went back to the Code of Patrick. Anyway, so here we are. America was founded, obviously, our government from the British. And so our laws in America are based on English common law, and so they, in a sense, go back to the Code of Patrick. So here's St. Patrick not just spreading the gospel, but also spreading laws. And one of his followers, who was named Columba, and do I have a few more minutes?
You sure do. Go right ahead. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes.
So Patrick dies on March 17th, around 465 AD. And so that's why March 17th is St. Pat's Day. Afterwards, there was the different kingdoms and chieftains and castles, and one castle had a missionary, a Christian, you know, Irish guy named Columba, which means dove. And Columba sneaks into a neighboring castle and borrows their book of Psalms and takes it back and spends a year recopying the whole thing by hand, because this is 1,000 years or so almost before the printing press was invented, so it's all by hand. And then he sneaks back into the first castle and puts it back. Well, when the king who had it borrowed finds out about it, he demands the copy. And the king who had the copy said, no, I'm not giving it up. And it turns into a fight and a battle, and about 3,000 people die. And so this Columba feels so bad that what he thought was good, getting a copy of the Psalms, ended up causing these deaths. He voluntarily banishes himself to the island of Iona. Iona is a small rocky island between Britain and England, I mean Britain and Ireland, and he lives on clams, eats them off the beach. He builds a stone hut, has a stone for his pillow, and then he gathers, other ones start joining him out there until it's a whole community. And they're so austere, they recite all 150 Psalms by memory every day. Anyway, they send missionaries back to the evangelize the Scots and the Picts, P-I-C-T-S, Picts. They're in Britain. And some of the stories are similar to Patrick's, where they'd have a whole, you know, choir of these men, and they'd be singing the Psalms at the full force of their voice. And it says that the doors of the castle flew open, and the king ended up converting. But then there was another missionary from Ireland named Columbanus. And Columbanus went to Europe, and he started over 100 churches and monasteries all across Europe, even as far south as northern Italy. So in the 500s, you got these Irish missionaries wandering around Europe, converting those heathen hordes that had overrun the Roman Empire. So it sort of went full circle. When the heathen hordes invaded, the Rome had to pull its legions back, and that's when Patrick was kidnapped. And then a century later, Patrick's churches sent missionaries back to convert all those heathen hordes. It's an amazing story. And now, there was, in the 500s, an Irish missionary named St. Brendan. And St. Brendan had a boat, and instead of going back to Britain or to Europe, he got blown off course. And they didn't see him for 7 years. When he finally made his way back to Ireland, he said he had gone to the land in the far west, which God had reserved for the saints in the last days. And this became rumored that it was what eventually we call America. And so the story of the travels of St. Brendan, one story was that, you know, he got off on a small island and, you know, celebrated communion. And then the island starts moving and found out it was the back of a whale, you know. So he has to hurry up, get back in their boat. Lots of stories of St. Brendan. But Columbus writes about reading and hearing about these stories of St. Brendan. And so the U.S. Navy Chapel at Annapolis has a stained glass window of St. Brendan, the Irish missionary that sailed to the far west. Then some other interesting things. There is the Muslims raided Ireland. And I think the Muslims raided Ireland. Yeah, in the 1600s, the same time that you know, the Pilgrims are founding America. The Muslims raid Ireland. An entire village was stolen, the stolen village of Baltimore, Ireland. Muslims came up at nighttime, rounded up a bunch, took the rest of them away to Morocco to slavery. And then you had British invaded Ireland and killed about 300,000 and sold a 500,000 Irish into slavery. In the 1600s, more Irish were sold into slavery than Africans. And then there was an Irish potato famine, and millions of Irish Catholics came to America in the 1840s. And the Catholic percent went from 2% to 20% in just a decade. And there was a large anti-Irish Catholic backlash, and they were called white, and then they would say the N-word. And so the Irish had to spread out from Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and across America. And so prior to 1964, the majority of immigrants to America came from Germany, England, and Ireland.
Well, a lot of history most of us haven't even thought of, I guess, has been William Federer right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
In just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, and William Federer. We were just talking certainly about the Irish, their background, the Catholic influence there, and the fact that many, even to a Irish Catholic, even today, why a mixed marriage is not black and white, it's a Catholic and Protestant. Well, certainly we all worship the same God, and what we need to do is work together for a common cause. But anyway, our guest has been William Federer. One more time, William, let's get your website out, and then we'll let you go because it's getting late back where you are.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com, and the title of the book is St. Patrick, The Real Story of His Amazing Life from Tragedy to Triumph.
God bless you. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night. Okay, fine. That was William Federer, and we do hope that you enjoy our conversations with William. He's certainly one of our favorite guests, and basically we carry several of William's books, and we have a number of interviews with him through the years. Always a pleasure to have William Federer as a guest on Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us maintain our network, certainly of, this program is probably heard on 12 or 14 different radio outlets. Why, certainly, we need your help, quite frankly. We actually have to pay for our radio time. But we have an opportunity to reach people all across America by the miracle of AM radio and FM radio and shortwave radio and internet, and certainly by satellite and by telephone. And there's all sorts of vehicles that are reaching people. The internet's very popular today. And if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, our number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, certainly, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, you can get our four best tapes of the month or our newsletter. You can get the items we have, and let me suggest our great new four tapes, four CD set, Did Hitler Escape? It's well worthwhile getting and letting people understand. Yes, Hitler and most of the Nazis, or so many of the Nazi war criminals, escaped to South America with the full help of people in the top levels of our government, who were part of this movement to create Adolf Hitler, to finance the Nazis. And just as today, we are financing the terrorist movement. We're financing the terrorists over there in Syria who are killing and torturing Christians to death. And nobody speaks out against it. Nobody seems to be concerned that your tax money is being used to finance the terrorists who are killing and torturing Christians in Syria. But this is certainly part and parcel of the tragedy that's unfolding today, and this is why I fear that God is going to bring judgment on America. But there's not a great reunion, and our job is to try to get people to understand what's going on. If you'd like to get our four CD sets, for instance, on how we helped the Nazis escape to South America and brought them here following the war, a four CD set, Operation Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, Hitler's Escape is certainly discussed in a four CD set, Did Hitler Escape? And then, of course, the Nazis escaping to South America, the war against the Jews, my interviews with John Loftus, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you, of course, will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, where you can go ahead and watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs, read our newsletters. And then, of course, if you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, just below the big black blue banners, there's a section on other items around the net, on the internet, or other items on the internet. And we are basically posting important articles there on a daily basis. We hope you'll go there if you would like to get what I think is important. All you have to do certainly is just log on to them, and you'll bring up the articles. And right now, we're moving into a very, very difficult and dangerous period. I don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East, but obviously this whole thing is contrived to create a crisis, and whether it's going to lead to an economic crisis or a battle, I don't know. But you'll get the information there on our website, and you can see all the articles that I think are important, other items on the internet, and then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of certainly of Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Foundation, and we're going to be talking about the problems that face Christians here in California. I've known Brad, 17 years. He's had this organization of his about that length of time, and I knew him before he created the organization. Brad's been to our meetings and given talks. But Brad certainly is a lawyer, and what they do is they offer legal advice and support to Christians who are coming under pressure because of their Christian beliefs or because of moral issues. Brad Dacus, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thank you.
Why don't you pick up the story and just tell our listeners about the things that are going on today and certainly what, of course, the issues are. And we'll just go through them because I know you have all sorts of problems, but you pick up the story. What's going on here in California? And, of course, many of these same problems are throughout the country. And you offer help not only to people in California, but across America. They have certainly a number of lawyers who work with Brad Dacus, Christian lawyers who are willing to donate their time to help Christians who are under pressure because of their religious faith and beliefs. Brad, pick up the story.
Oh, you bet. You know, I say the, one of the greatest challenges we're facing right now is dealing with the transgender movement and the new boy and the girl's bathroom locker room showers bill. It's a very serious threat. You know, it allows boys who say that they feel like they're a girl inside, even though they're 100% biological boy, to go into the girls' bathrooms at any grade level in school, and then also in junior high school, they can go in the girls' locker rooms and showers along with the girls' change, dress, and be naked with the girls. It's really hideous. It's really hideous. But this this was signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown, but it was halted after we at Pacific Justice Institute were a draft, got a referendum to get the signatures to try to put on the ballot. And now we're in a battle as to whether or not we gathered enough signatures. In the meantime, even though this is supposed to be stayed, it's not supposed to be going into effect because of the pending referendum, a number of school districts like Los Angeles Unified School District, San Francisco School District, Dr. Stanley, they're already implementing this. And we've already heard stories, terrible stories of boys have been going into girls' locker rooms and showers with the girls, and the girls are just told, you know, to live with it and be tolerant, you know, quote unquote tolerant, and that, and don't object to being visually, seen by a boy who's changing right at the same time you are.
Brad, are you on a regular telephone or cell phone? Because it sounds like a cell phone.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm on a cell phone. Oh,
you don't have access to a hard line.
It would be, it's sort of tough. I just left a fundraising event for a pro-life center.
Okay.
And, I could actually maybe talk to them to see if they'd let me, but they probably wouldn't. So,
you don't think they'd let you use the hard line there?
Yeah.
If not, why, we'll put up with the cell phone because I think your information is so important.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Brad's on the front line, and they're actually implementing this all across the state, in Los Angeles and several of the large counties. You're not hearing about this. I mean, wouldn't you be incensed if your daughter was in showering and some fellow comes in and he says, well, I feel like a girl, so I'm going to shower right along with you? What impact do you think that's having on girls? And we're not talking about something theoretical. We're talking about these things are going on today. And do you think God is going to look kindly upon this sort of thing? We'll be back in a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 and ask about Garlazyme.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
And this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Brad is saying that this is taking place in Colorado. This is suddenly taking place elsewhere, where girls are actually forced to, and if the girls complain, because, of course, there's a boy in the shower with them when they're suddenly showering, and they're told that they're intolerant and they've got to learn to be tolerant. And if they complain, it's called hate speech. What madness is this? What vengeance do you think God is going to bring on this country? Why aren't we hearing about this on television every night? Why aren't we hearing about this on radio every evening? Why aren't we reading this about this in the newspaper every day? And it's because these are all controlled by part of this group that hates God, hates morality, and is intent upon destroying the religious and moral foundation of our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, certainly what they could do if these people say, well, they don't feel comfortable as boys, fine, find another place for them. But they don't have to be with the girls. They don't want to be with the boys. Let them have their own place. But of course, Sidney, how do we know what is motivating these boys? How many of them are just want to see the girls naked? But what about the rights of the girls? Well, they have no rights. And basically, Brad is on the front lines trying to get this information taken care of. And basically, can the parents just take their children out of school and say, we're not going to put up with it?
Well, you know, we at Pacific Justice Institute defend the rights of parents to do just that, to pull their kids not only, you know, out of the public school and put their children in a private school, but also to homeschool their kids and or to put their children into charter schools and charter school kind of programs that don't have this kind of an agenda that, you know, or independent study programs. The hardcore reality, Dr. Stanley, as you well know, is that the parents, the public schools today are not what they used to be. And they are actually, it can be a very, very dangerous place in so many different aspects, in so many different ways. I just heard a lecture this evening from a woman named Dr. Grossman talking all about the very dangerous things that children are learning in health science that is false and very mentally, emotionally, and physically catastrophic to their life.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, basically, the moral foundation of America is under attack today, and you're not hearing about it. And what about the churches speaking out against this, Brad? Are you getting support from the churches for your efforts to collect signatures and to try to get this issue on the ballot so it can be done away with in California?
Well, actually, yeah, I would say churches really participated big time on this. Two-thirds of the signatures that were obtained were from volunteers working predominantly through their churches and organizations. So we're still hoping, right now, the Secretary of State's office declared that 131,000 of the 620,000 signatures were invalid, leaving us just 17,000 short of what we need to get on the ballot. Well, we at Pacific Justice at no time had a chance to look at what they were invalidating until now. Now we, as members of our coalition, are all working together. Protect Privacy Students Organization Coalition, and we're preparing to go into court if necessary. It looks like we may have to do that because of the fact that some of these counties are preventing us from even looking at the signatures that were invalidated, examining the reasons why they were invalidated, really trying to stonewall the whole process. You just wouldn't think this was the United States of America to see such an overt attempt to try to.
Well, how can they keep you from seeing the ballots or seeing how they decided that the ballots were invalid?
Well, there's a number of ways. One, that's a very good question. One is, for example, they will only allow, most counties only allow two people at a time to go in and look at the invalid signatures. Well, we've got, in L.A. County alone, over 30,000 invalidated signatures. So it's really a huge task, and of course they had many more people than just two people per county, counting than when they did. So that's part of it. And then also some counties will let our people look at a computer screen to look at the name on the signature and the reason it was invalidated, but they won't allow us to actually look at the signature and look to see if the reason given was actually a valid reason, and that's really disturbing. And then we have another example where one of our own attorneys, in-house attorneys, Matt McReynolds, he he's had a serious problem with his vision. He's become legally blind. We have special equipment that allows him to do all the practice of, law and legal research. But nonetheless, he was a part of the process of getting this on the ballot, trying to get this on the ballot. Well, his signature was thrown out and declared invalid. And the reason they gave was because they said his signature 10 years ago where his driver's license, it looks different than his signature now that he's legally blind. Well, that happens to elderly people all the time. Their signature changes as their sight, changes potentially. So, he didn't even know about it. He would not even know that his signature was invalidated, had we not stumbled across it and knew who Matt McReynolds was, that he's a very educated, gifted attorney, and they declared that his signature was invalidated. Because it looked different.
Well, do you think that some of this is actual personal prejudice rather than legitimate? Do you think that some of these people really do not want you to be able to get this on the initiative on the ballot? And basically, isn't it true that some of the counties even refuse to count the ballots?
Yeah, they only had two counties. Get this, Tulare County and Mono Lake County specifically, where the Secretary of State came right out and said, I'm not going to count any signatures in these two counties, even though the signatures were turned in on time. And she tried a technical maneuver to try to prevent that. We had to, Dr. Starr, we had to go into court, in the Superior Court in California, to get a judge to order the Secretary of State to count those signatures and not to just throw them all out. But that's the kind of unethical, I think it's for corruption, but just unethical tactics that are really trying to demean the final ability of the people to hold their government accountable. In California, we have a legislature and government is totally far to the left. We have, courts and judges that are very far to the left, and have breached our trust and became with top eight and other things. Well, now the last opportunity we have is we the people to get two signatures, to get things on the ballot, but we the people can vote on it. Now they're trying to thwart that through this process, and that's why, like I said, we at Pacific Justice are working so hard with the other people in the coalition and our attorneys to painstakingly do everything we can to show that at least 17,000 of the 131,000 that were thrown out incorrectly and not have been thrown out.
Well, now, basically, have you been able to count the ballots in Monterey? Because Monterey is just across the bay from where we are, and this program is being heard over there. But did Monterey eventually have to count the ballots?
Yes. Monterey did have to count the ballots. Tulare, yes, all of them had to, which was a wonderful victory against the Secretary of State's office. But make no mistake, we are convinced that those in most of these counties, the registrar's office, their politics and philosophy is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes aligned with this movement, and it makes it very problematic when we're trying to maintain the integrity and respectability of California signatories.
Well, I think that the whole thing is that there's a really serious question about the legitimacy of any election when you have this sort of corruption. And basically, we talk about democracy. The problem is, certainly, if you have corruption in the certainly counting the votes, why you'd have no representative government. You live in it, for all intents and purposes, a dictatorship. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would think that would be reason to impeach the Secretary of State for simply this. Now, basically, you've got to get 17,000 more signatures of the over 650,000 or something like that, 630,000 you collected. So basically, what is the next step? What is going to be happening next?
Well, we are in the process of going into all the counties, checking all the signatures that were invalidated, assessing whether or not they were done correctly or incorrectly. We've already seen a large number that were incorrectly invalidated for a number of reasons. I mentioned a few. And so what we're doing now is we're assessing those, tabulating those, and trying to do so in time to still be able to have it go up here on the ballot this November.
Well, now, basically, isn't it that the Supreme Court has held that this cannot be certainly introduced, the program cannot be implemented until certainly the controversy is over? If that is the case, then how is it that the program is being implemented in a couple of the major counties here?
Yeah, that's a good point, and you're absolutely right. The state Supreme Court is very clear on this, that when you have a pending referendum, the bill at issue or pending law at issue remains stayed. It does not go into effect until there's a final resolution with regard to the referendum or the status of the referendum with regard to the signatures. Very clear. Well, nonetheless, we have two problems. One, we have a Secretary of State who has pronounced that, yes, this is in effect. I mean,
can't you bring a criminal lawsuit against her or sue her for a large sum of money for that?
Well, it's not because she's acting in a legal authority. It's just simply her opinion that people hear from the Secretary of State, so they think it's somehow legally binding, and that, of course, is not the case. In fact, the law firm that represents about a third of all the public school districts in California has come out and said that they agree with us and that this should not go into effect at all at this time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, basically, I think you have to understand that there is a conspiracy against morality. This is my opinion. I'm not attributing this to Brad. But, I mean, listen to what Brad is saying. Understand what they're doing. How would you like if this was your daughter? What psychological impact would that have on her? And basically, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that there are wicked and evil forces at work in our society. And yet, of course, I'm not hearing a lot of our ministers speaking out. So many are helping. I'm so pleased to know that they are helping. But every minister, every Christian in California should be involved in this. And you're not hearing about it certainly through regular channels. I wonder why. We'll be back in a moment. Give us a call.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad was simply saying that if you know of anybody, a boy or a girl, but in all probability a girl, who has been violated, so they have been in, had boys coming into the locker room or into the shower room, or sitting into the bathroom with them, and they feel the girl feels she's been violated by this or hurt psychologically, if you contact the Pacific Justice Institute. The Pacific Justice Institute, they'll represent her without charge, and they can, of course, bring a lawsuit against the school district, which is liable, and the people in that district that have made these decisions are liable for criminal damages to that child and their psyche. So if you know anybody, if they have someone, they can bring a suit. They can't bring a lawsuit until somebody is willing to come forward. But if you know somebody in that situation, be sure to go ahead and contact the Pacific Justice Institute. Now, what was the next problem you were bringing up there, Brad?
Oh, sure. Yeah. It was just a law that was passed that prohibited anyone under the age of 18 from getting any kind of counseling when they're struggling with same-sex attraction or activities, sexual activities, that in any way leads them or away from those same-sex attraction or same-sex sexual activities. So it's very extreme. So you have young people, they have a Christian, Judeo background. They want counseling that's in accordance to their beliefs and their convictions. And they can't get that anymore in California based on this law. We went into federal court. We got a federal judge to grant an injunction against it, declare it was unconstitutional, violates the First Amendment. And then the state of California Attorney General appealed it to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Ninth Circuit ruled, they reversed the lower court decision and said that this is totally fine. This kind of prohibition on counseling is fine and is legal. And so then we filed an en banc with the broader Ninth Circuit. So when you first bring something forward in the Ninth Circuit, you have just a three-judge panel, right? Well, en banc means you have like a 10-judge panel, and that's what we had. They looked at it. We had seven said, no, we think, or seven said, we think this is a fine law. Three of them had a very strong dissenting opinion, and so now we're filing an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court called Petition for Certiorari, before the U.S. Supreme Court, and we've got about 60 days left to do that, and we're working hard on that to protect young boys and girls. And by the way,
and for our listeners out there, basically, there was a law passed in California that if you are a boy or a girl, and you have first you're a boy and you feel like you should be a girl, and you know it's wrong and you want to get counseling, why, I think the law in California is, you can't get counseling, certainly if you're less than 18 years of age.
Yeah, if you're less than 18 years of age,
you can't get counseling.
Forbidden.
You can't get counseling. You still need to help you, address this, whatever these feelings are. And basically, there's a lot of things that are being done chemically to people and to children and to even pregnant women that is going to create some sexual aberrations in their children. And basically, if the child or the parents want to get treatment or want to get counseling for that child, they cannot get it because it's said, well, if the child feels that way, they are not entitled. They will not be allowed to have counseling until after they're 18 years of age. And by then, they're going to be really messed up. And so the one federal judge, said that this was illegal. And the Ninth Circuit Court said that it was perfectly legal. The law was legal. And so basically, they're trying to get this before the United States Supreme Court. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is organized madness. Why can't you get counseling for a boy who thinks he's a girl, but he doesn't want to think he's a girl? He wants to at least talk to a counselor. Well, the law says you can't do it. We live in a world gone mad. These are real issues, and that's what Brad is dealing with. Go right ahead, Brad.
Yeah, so this is real important. We appreciate people's prayers for us on this because we found, as it turns out, New Jersey has passed a similar law just recently, signed a law by Governor Chris Christie, which I was a little surprised that I guess he didn't have.
I would not be at all surprised about by anything that Christie does. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're less gracious than me on that end, but you're right though. It didn't surprise many people, I'm sure, but. But anyway, so that's there. And then Maryland is thinking about, adopting the law that lets boys go into girls' bathrooms. They're actually seriously considering it, their legislature. So people need to be aware of it. It's not just in California. It's already starting to spread to other states. That's why we have to stop it here.
And ladies and gentlemen, God, God who gave us life gave us liberty. But can the liberties of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Those words are chiseled into the white marble of the Jefferson Memorial. I wish they were quoted more often.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Germs that resist, drugs that disappoint, therapies that don't cure, and healthcare you simply can't afford, that's what modern medicine is today. If the world has a single antidote for what ails it health-wise, it's Allicin from Garlic. I'm health journalist Bill Sardi, and I want to ask, how do you get Allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, from a garlic clove when stomach acid destroys the enzyme that makes it? That has finally been accomplished by producing the world's first alkaline-buffered garlic capsule that neutralizes the stomach acid that blocks the production of Allicin from garlic. That garlic pill is called Garlazyme. Don't fall for garlic pills that pretend to provide Allicin, even that brand that says it offers 100% pure Allicin powder. You can learn more about it by calling 866-674-3955. You'll even like the price. A month's supply is $8 and change when you order in quantity, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955. And ask about Garlazyme.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. The city of Lake Elsinore is putting up a war memorial, or wanted to, and it's just a big granite, memorial to the people who fought and died in World War II. And sitting in the background, there is certainly a simulated cemetery, and you'll see the little crosses and little stars of David, and then an eagle and a few other things on the war memorial. But, of course, they brought a lawsuit against this, saying, well, of course, because it has a cross on there, why? It's religious, and certainly forget about the boys who fought and bled and suffered and died, that this is to memorialize. You can't have it because this is a Christian message. And a liberal judge has actually agreed that this war memorial is unconstitutional. Well, basically, of course, if the city of Elsinore wants to follow this along, why, Brad Dacus and his organization are going to represent them for $1. That's all they're charging. And the city of Elsinore wants to follow this through, Brad and his group will do it. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, Christianity, Judaism, anything having to do with God is under attack today. When you understand that this is a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield, and these people have an intense hatred of God, and they're going to bring God's judgment down on this country, and our churches are not speaking out effectively, why, you must understand that we must get in and help Brad. Now, Brad, was first of all, would you like to tell people how they get in touch with you? And Sydney, join your organization and help you. I want our listeners to know that Barbara and I have supported Brad regularly for the last 17 years. We believe he's doing a great job. We do have a DVD of a talk he gave when he came to spoke to our group. But Sydney, they need help financially for what they're doing. Brad, how can people get in touch with you?
And so Pacific Justice.org, PacificJustice.org, and there they can sign up to get our case updates, the email, or also hard mail. They're really interesting. They're not long, you know, it's not real long. We try to make it short and to the point. And, because I don't like, lots of long stuff sent to me. I just don't have time to read it. So we really keep it short and respectable. It's called a legal insider update once a week. They can sign up to get that. They can also request assistance, and that's even more important. If they need help, they can go to that website and spell it out real clear, the kind of assistance they need. And we really try to have a quick turnaround with our attorneys to get back with people. And if it's outside our area of expertise, we make that really clear, and then we sometimes can provide some recommendations of some other attorneys that are in those private sectors that will handle on a private basis, and not through Pacific Justice. And then, of course, the people who want to support our work, and we really appreciate them, particularly those who become monthly supporters, automatic monthly supporters for any amount. And, in fact, anyone who does decide to support our work, particularly on a monthly basis, for even a dollar a month, we'll send them a copy of our different DVD that has five separate video stories on it of real people, real cases, really eye-opening cases. And I think it'll be really inspirational. People can use those for their group, their community group, or Bible study or whatever. So really, I think, encourage and inspire people to take their religious freedom and their parental rights very seriously.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888.
Supportive of this law that lets boys go into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms and shower with them.
But what about the teachers? I mean, aren't a lot of the teachers who realize how ridiculous it is?
Yeah, I think the actual teachers themselves, many teachers themselves do see this as very ridiculous and crazy. That's sort of separate from the actual California Teachers Association, which is very liberal and eccentric. But teachers are finding it very problematic. Superintendents find this very problematic, and as do many school counselors. So they see this as going to be a real serious problem, and they're perplexed because, they know, point blank that if they allow this to happen, it's going to be very traumatic for a lot of girls and boys, for that matter, especially girls. Who are even more modest than boys oftentimes, and then suddenly a 16-year-old prances in while a girl is just taking off her clothes, ready to get in the shower, and he takes off his clothes. It's going to be very traumatic, and many in public schools, I'm sure, I know that for a fact, are very concerned about it.
Okay, anything else, Bruce?
Yeah, he mentioned that it was declared illegal to try to counsel children until they were 18.
That's right.
Is that right?
Right. That's a good law here in California, and it's passed.
As I was walking by the radio, I thought I heard you say something about it being illegal to have individuals counsel them. I mean,
that's
could
right.
Student,
that's right.
Is that right? One student can't say to another?
No. It would be going to a counselor.
A licensed counselor. Now, if you have someone who's in ministry who's not a licensed counselor and not trained in this area, then they can still get a limited amount of counseling. But if anyone's a licensed counselor, including, say, a pastor, if a pastor is a licensed counselor, anyone is a licensed counselor, then they are bound by this law and cannot give any kind of counseling to steer people away from same-sex attraction or same sexuality or transsexuality.
Okay. It immediately came to my mind. I read the book of Jasher, probably two or three times a year, just to refresh the things that are written in the book of Jasher. I don't know if you've ever heard of that book, but it really fleshes out the entire book of Genesis. Like, if Genesis has the one chapter on the flood, the book of Jasher will have three or four. And when it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the main reasons God stepped in was that they upended and perverted the laws, and you couldn't talk to another, you couldn't talk to a homosexual and tell them you can't do that. That's in the book of Jasher. It actually says that they killed Lot's youngest daughter for doing that. The judges ruled against her and they burned her to death. And that was like one of the last straws that broke the camel's back, and God had to step in and said, "All right, you've gone too far." So if that happens in this country where they make it illegal to speak against homosexuality or try to tell people they shouldn't do that, things like that, perversion, then we are real close, you know, we're real close to something.
I think you're absolutely right, Bruce. I share your concern. Anything else?
All right, well, thanks.
God bless. Okay.
You were talking about the Roman Empire in the last guest that was on. I think it's Suetonius or Seneca wrote about the days of Caligula, and Caligula would compel people to participate in orgies and same-sex kind of orgies, and whether they wanted to or not, older people, you know, like elderly people even, some real perversions can happen when people forget God, and we're really forgetting God in this country. We need a revival big time.
You're absolutely right. God bless you, Bruce. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You have a question or comment. Our guest is Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, you go right ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, we're seeing a lot of challenges to both faith and family in this country. We also see it, by the way, in more and more of the military. We're noticing more and more reports in the different branches from very high levels where there's open hostility to people of faith, to Christians of faith. You know, we heard reports, I think it was the Air Force, I think, had listed a family research council as a potential terrorist kind of an organization, because of their position on homosexuality, that somehow they're a dangerous organization. This is an organization that's a coalition of pastors around the country that preach from the Bible, that live their faith. Since when are they a danger to this country? And yet that's the kind of twisted thinking that we're seeing permeating from the high up part of the executive branch, from the commander in chief, we believe from the commander in chief all the way on down, because we know it's high up because it deals with all four branches of government are making these changes. And if that's the case, you only have two or three slots that to be responsible for this kind of dramatic anti-Christian policy making that we see being employed.
I share your concern, Brad. I really do. In fact, apparently there are a lot of people in the cadets there at the Air Force Academy who are very upset by the policies being taken by their teachers. Oh, the anti-Christian policies. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but I mean, they're circulating petitions. Basically, these are Christians who are going into the Air Force cadets, who are understand the hypocrisy of what's going on. What people don't understand is that when our men go into battle, if they don't have God on their side, a lot of them aren't going to survive. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if you read the history of civilization, you find that when a nation turns against God, God turns against that nation. And America today is turned against God. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and that's a real serious problem that we're seeing employed in our military. And we also, of course, see it, taking place in our universities as well. A classic example of that is a professor who is teaching health science. In fact, he was in charge over the health science department of the Fresno City College, City Community College there in the city of Fresno. He was teaching about the harmful effects of different kinds of intimacy behavior, sexual behaviors, and activities, and he's talked about the raw fact of the unhealthiness and the danger of different activities and that people are doing, and just very straightforward about it. Well, it got out that he said these things about these sexual activities that are that specifically don't favor same-sex sexual relationships. And because of that, the fact that those facts, health statistics, didn't bode well in that for those kind of relationships, the head of the college had him demoted. This is the man who was won the Pulitzer or Nobel Prize. I forget which one it was, but a very famous kind of. And he was demoted because what he said was not politically correct, even though it was, as far as health science is concerned, very important, and very important in particular for youth to be aware of when it comes to very risky behavior, whether it's politically correct or not.
Well, I think we're in real problems, and certainly what is this, a sort of retaliatory reaction is going to silence a lot of people, but we've got to back them, and basically, I would think that they would have basis for a lawsuit against the administrators of the hospital. Is there any way that that this man would use your services to bring a lawsuit against the university?
Well, thank you for asking that, because that's exactly what we did. We have filed. We have a wonderful civil attorney in the area. He's just a great job, doing a great job. We have filed a lawsuit against the college on behalf of this professor. And it's so important that professors not be so punished for simply objectively talking about the scientific, statistical risks of different kinds of behaviors or sexual behaviors. That's a real disservice to so many young people in our colleges today. You know, we have so much in the way of bias and hostility in our colleges. You know, public, especially public universities, many private universities, and so people need to hold them accountable. We're doing it through our court system this time.
Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, our guest is Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. Their website, www.pacificjustice.org. www.pacificjustice.org. Okay, well, do you have any other interesting cases, Brad?
Yeah, we do. And this is take a different turn here. It deals with child protective services. We're just having an increase in calls from parents having outrageous assaults on them and their family by child protective services, social workers. You know, different states, they vary on this. You know, the states like, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, I believe North Carolina, Texas, they've reformed to a great degree their child protective service system to give much more due process protection to parents and families, to let them have a jury of their peers before their children are permanently taken from them forever. You know, but other states like, you know, California, Illinois, New York, Massachusetts, they have a long way to go in that they allow social workers with just a mere reasonable suspicion of abuse or neglect, which can be an anonymous phone call, to take children forcefully for the homes of moms and dads, emotionally and traumatically, and then have them examined by a stranger, physically examined by a strange, you know, which is a doctor, but in the eyes of a young child, it's a stranger. And it can be very traumatic. And a lot of these kids are never given back to the parent. Well, that's what we're facing. I just had a call recently of a mother who, she homeschools, her children. And she's doing a great job, very healthy, you know, good education. And yet there was an anonymous phone call from one of the neighbors, and they have evidence to support that. The neighbors, made up some accusations, and we had to find out, we disproved those accusations. And yet the social workers were threatening to come in and come into the house, the parents and the family, and to potentially take the children. And this is just one classic example of what my office deals with at the Pacific Justice Institute. Before children are taken, after they're taken, it's up to a public defender. But we try to keep the kids from being taken in the first place.
Well, basically, do you have fairly good results if you can get it before they actually are taken away?
Yes, very, very high positive results, keeping children from being taken if recalled beforehand. We usually are able to keep kids from being wrongfully taken.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Brad is doing a tremendous job, and this is why Barbara and I support him. We hope that you will as well. Our guest is Brad Dacus at the Pacific Justice Institute. Their website, www.pacificjustice.org. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoy our periodic conversations with Brad Dacus. Well, we've known Brad, as I mentioned earlier, for over 17 years. We think he does a good job, and we certainly support his efforts, and we hope that you will as well, because this is the time when I have to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported as well, and we depended upon you to help us maintain our network of stations out across America, where certainly people, both 5 hours a day, are hearing our programs by shortwave radio, by AM radio, by FM radio, by internet, certainly by satellite, by telephone. What a wonderful opportunity it is to reach people. And then, of course, we hope that if you are out there in the listening audience, why, you'll tell your friends and encourage your friends to listen. Try to get them started, and when they start listening, they'll get their friends, and that's how we build up a massive audience all across America. And we're privileged to have the opportunity to do what we do. And we do hope that many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty community, family of supporters, and help us maintain the network that we have. Now, you can certainly help us not only by joining the Radio Liberty family and taking our four best tapes or CDs of the month and our newsletter, but of course you can help us by just simply getting the four CD sets we have. And we've mentioned several times the new great four CD set, Did Hitler Escape? Did Hitler escape? And yes, Hitler did escape. Hitler and 10 to 30,000 Nazis, probably closer to 30,000 Nazis escaped and lived out their lives in South America. And the reason you've never heard that is because the media in America is rigidly controlled by five or six major corporations. And we have a book on that. It's called The New Media Monopoly, written back in 2004 by Professor Ben Bagdikian, who was a liberal professor of journalism at the University of California in Berkeley, who spent 30 years researching the media and came to the conclusion the media is rigidly controlled. The media is rigidly controlled. And I've talked to a Professor Bagdikian, and certainly he is a very rational individual. He doesn't understand what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. He doesn't understand that he thinks that the right wing that controls the media, the people on the right think the left wing controls the media, and they're all wrong. It is part of this satanic movement, and it is a satanic movement. And if you doubt that, simply go to their website, trilateral.org, and look at their logo. Three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside down broken cross. They understand what this is about, and you need to as well, and you need to help us get the information out. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're losing that battle because we're not reaching enough people. And what we need is your help to reach more. And that's why we encourage you to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us. To join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you go to our website. While you can watch, certainly, our DVDs there, you can certainly read our newsletters, or you can actually listen to our radio programs there 4 hours a day live and archived 24 hours a day. But then, of course, we do certainly have other things that you need to read on our website. We have a new site. It's right up at the top. It's items around the internet. And basically, it's simply all you have to do is just click on that, and it'll give you all the latest articles there. Every day, I think we posted about 6 or 8 articles there today to help you understand what's going on over in the Middle East. And basically, these are the outstanding articles, so you don't have to spend a lot of time on the web. I do. I spend hours every day. Well, you certainly have the benefit of that. And we post the best articles right there on that site, and you get the latest ones that'll bring you up to date on what is really happening. So it's at radioliberty.com, just below the big blue banner at the top. Again, certainly, this is Dr. Stan asking you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 17 March 2014. It's Monday. You're in the right place.
You've been watching television all weekend long. You probably got incredible amounts of whiplash trying to figure out where is the plane. And again, over and over, hour after hour, they cover this on all the networks.